Welcome to the ministry of Mercy Seat Ministries and Evangelist Karen Schatzler. We believe that the message that you are about to hear will mightily change your life. Open your heart, mind, and spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to move in you. We must declare it to the next generation.
I want to talk to the women here today, the men too, because what I'm about to talk about can be applied to your life too in a lot of different areas. But I want to target mostly these four women who are taking on this awesome responsibility. Because now not only do you have to balance your family, your marriage, your children, your job, now you have to balance ministry in with all of that. So good luck. But it is such an awesome responsibility to be able to do that. And that's what I kind of want to talk to you about, because so many times in ministry, you know, we have that hard time balancing that, because I truly believe that there are two sides to every woman, and we have to learn how to balance those things in our lives. You know, every one of us, you know, has a Martha spirit and a Mary spirit, and that's kind of what I want to talk to you about, that neither one of those things are wrong. We just have to learn when to allow those giftings to come to the forefront, allow those giftings to be in the, you know, to come forth, whether it's time to be a Martha or it's time to be a Mary. And so many times us as women in ministry have a hard time balancing that act of when to be which one. And so, you know, because I believe every woman, still, no matter how old you are, whether you're in your 90s or you're 9, you have a desire that never leaves you to be this amazing, beautiful princess that's rescued, that God comes in, or your husband comes in, or, you know, that knight in shiny armor comes in and rescues you. We all have that desire as women, that feminine side of us, that part of us who just desires to be taken care of and to just be that princess in this great adventure. But then there's that other side of us that every single woman, you know, may not admit or may not, you know, talk about, but there's that other side of us as women that wants to be a part of some great adventure, to be a part, to be a warrior, to be a, you know, a mighty woman fighting in battle. We all have that part of us. We just suppress it most of the time. And so, but we all desire to be that elfin princess who in The Lord of the Rings who runs into the woods to save the day and everything. But who says that we can't have both? That we can't be that woman who desires to be rescued, but at the same time, when the time comes, we can step up in battle and be the one who saves the day also. We can have both of those things in our lives as long as we realize when to bring them to the forefront. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. We're going to be talking about Martha and Mary, about always being a Martha and never being a Mary, in Luke 10:38. You see, the call of God is not gender specific. God loves us, and he has a plan for us, and he has a call on our lives. You know, when you said that about look at the person next to you, Pastor Mike, and say, what does it feel like to be holding the hand of a miracle? You know, I am a miracle. God saved me, and he delivered me, and he saved my life. In 1993, the enemy wanted to take me out in a head-on collision. And years after that, I still battled with injuries from that, and I had surgery and all of these things. But the enemy wanted to kill me back then, because he knew that there was a call in my life, that God wanted to use me. And I am a miracle, and I plan to take every day that I have to do the work that God's called me to do, but at the same time not forsake the womanhood that God gave me. And so, you know, I want to break the stereotype that every woman in ministry has to have some raspy voice or yell in anger or, you know, glare over everyone or lord over everyone that they come in, you know, contact with. That's not what God's intention for women is. God intends for women to walk in ministry, but he intends for her to walk gently in ministry and realize that she was never created to be the head. It doesn't mean she's below anybody. It doesn't mean that she can't have those things, that she can't pursue ministry, but it means that she was never intended to be the head, not to be the head in your home or anything. God has a special plan, but he has a place for you to walk in authority and power and victory. And so that's what I want to talk about today, because so many times women in ministry forsake their womanhood for power and authority and that prestige, always busy but never tending to the gifts that God's given them in womanhood. And that's what you need to do. You need to realize that the gifts that you can use in ministry are the God-given gifts that He gave you as a woman, to be the woman that God has called you to be. You see, I want to talk about Mary and Martha today, but probably differently than what you've heard in the past, you know, that only Mary matters. But you know what? I come to tell you today, I'm proud to be a Martha, and I'll show you why. But at the same time, I know when to suppress Martha and be a Mary. And sometimes I forget, and I have to be reminded. But you see, maybe during the busyness of everyday life, in your life as a woman, maybe you feel like me at times, where you find that you're overwhelmed by all the commitments that you've committed yourself to, all the things that you've promised that you would participate in. Maybe you feel like me at times, where you think, what on earth am I doing? You know, I found that weariness and worry really doesn't have a special season or special time of year. I find that those things try to creep into my life every single day, especially during the holiday seasons where you have, you know, we've just finished these holiday seasons. Everybody's just taking a deep breath and thinking to themselves, thank God it's over. You know, when we really should have been embracing the moment of what it was really all about instead of all of the busyness and everything. But Luke 10:38 says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. How many of you have felt that way? There have been times where I have been doing stuff and now that I look back at it, it probably wasn't even with the right heart. You know, I'm doing all this to prove I can do it all, you know. But at the same time, as I'm in the midst of doing it all, I'm thinking, look at them. They're not even helping. They're just sitting there. Tell them to help me. Get up. Do something. But you know what? So many times if we would have the right attitude and the right heart and we do it for the right reasons, you know what? We really won't notice those people around that aren't doing it. Because we'll take joy in what we're doing for the King. We'll take joy in that. But God's response to her was, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. How many of you have felt that way before? You know, we put so much pressure on ourselves, you know, to make everything perfect, to make everything, you know, happen. But do you know that most of the time the pressure that we feel only comes from us? It's the pressure that we put on ourselves to be perfect. It's the pressure that we put on ourselves to accomplish everything we can accomplish. You know, when most of the time at the end of the day and you look over your to-do list, did I accomplish everything I needed to do? Did I do this? Did I do that? Well, you may have done it and you may feel like you've done something. Most people don't know half the things that you've done and don't care. Yeah. And you put that pressure on yourself. But let's look at Martha, because I find Martha just fascinating, because I can relate to her. I can relate to this type of woman. Who is Martha? The name Martha derives from an Aramaic form meaning lady of the house. It also means in the Hebrew, Micaiah, which means fighting, strife, striving, and one who does battle. How many of you feel that way sometimes? You're just always at war with something. You're always fighting something. You're always fighting against something that has to be done. But you know what? Her name literally meant the lady of the house who is at war. I am that lady so many times, and I war against so many things I don't really need to war against, so many battles that really don't belong to me and everything. And we do that so often. But you see, I can relate to this woman. We are at war with the wrong things so many times. She may have been in the right battle at that moment, but she was warring against the wrong things. You see, her sister's name was Mary, which, interestingly enough, means one who leads a rebellion. Rebellious. You know, how many of you would have thought that Mary, who washed the feet of Jesus, who, you know, just seemed to be doing everything so right. Her name meant rebellion, one who leads a rebellion. But you see, What was Martha like? The scripture tells us a few things about Martha. We know that she invited Jesus to her home on a regular basis. We know that she was hospitable. She could have been the widow of Simon the leper. She lived in the leper colony. She had a sister named Mary who had washed the feet of Jesus in Matthew 26:6. And we know that Martha went and met Jesus on the road when her brother Lazarus died. You see, she went to meet him on the road in John 11. It says, in fact, when Jesus heard that Lazarus died, he wept. He cried. I mean, he loved this family. This was his home away from home. This was his oasis. This was his second home, his weekend getaway. This family took care of him. They ministered to him. They fed him. Jesus loved this family. How many of you remember in the scripture when Lazarus died? In John 11, 1, it says, now a man named Lazarus died or was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And then it goes on to say, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. If you ever notice in that scripture, wouldn't you think because Mary was the one that washed his feet with her hair that he'd say, Jesus loved Mary and her sister. But the scripture says Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Don't you know that I truly believe that possibly Jesus loved Martha because possibly she may have reminded him of his own mother, always about some type of business, always doing the work, always, you know, cleaning something, fixing something. She got things done. She accomplished things. She did things. She wasn't ever just laying around idle. She was accomplishing things. She did things. She was a woman of purpose, a woman of vision, a woman of passion. She had a purpose in her life. You see, we need the attributes of both of these women in our life. We need to be women of purpose and women of vision. You have to have a plan in your life. You have to have a purpose for your life. But here's what I come to tell you. Doesn't it seem like sometimes, though, that we as women or even men or even no matter who you are, that so many times we're a Martha and never a Mary? Sometimes I feel like I'm never a Mary, that I can never bring that part, that attribute into my life, that I'm always busy. I know in my home, I feel like I can never sit down and rest, not because no one will let me, not because Pat makes me work all the time, not because I can't rest, not because no one will help me, but because I feel like I always have to be busy to feel significant, or I always have to be busy, or I'm being lazy. It's because I put that pressure on me. I mean, I can tell you, there's times when Pat just looks at me and says, you are making me tired. Just watching you, please sit down and just watch a movie with us. And so I'll go get a basket of clothes, and I'll sit down and I'll fold clothes as I'm watching, you know, the movie with them. But we feel like we always have to be busy all the time. There was one night at our house, it was right before Christmas, and, you know, we were getting ready for our first Christmas party for our church, or, you know, staff meetings. Staff meetings are killing me. We're not used to having to have meetings all the time. And so we were having all these meetings. We were having every kind of Christmas party, every kind of school party, every kind of, you know, all of these things going on. And I looked at Pat, and I said, I was just wore out and exhausted. And I said, you know, this is the holiday season, but I am so tired. I said, I feel like I'm always a Mary or always a Martha and never a Mary, never finding time to sit at the feet of Jesus, never finding time to just sit in his presence. I mean, isn't that what this season is about? I feel like I'm always a Martha, just doing the busy stuff, just doing the busy work. But where is my time with him? You see, I always feel like that Martha and never a Mary. See, I've come to tell you that this is a lady after my own heart. I can relate to her. I understand where she's coming from. You see, she understood what hospitality was, and she truly loved Jesus. But she just didn't know how to get at his feet. She just didn't know how to rest in his presence, to not always be busy doing the things for him, but just to sit in his presence. You know, she was probably a perfectionist, I would imagine. You know, she was probably a perfectionist in everything she did. I can relate to that. She probably felt like she had to make everything perfect all the time. She probably couldn't go to bed with dirty dishes in her sink or a dirty floor. I have a floor issue, okay? If my floor is dirty, everything is chaos. If my floor is clean, everything comes back into balance. I can deal with everything around me as long as the floor is clean. And so there have been times where we will have parties at our house or get-togethers and everybody leaves like at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm in the kitchen. I'm cleaning the floors because I can try to go to bed, and I have done it before. I've tried to go to bed, and I'll lay there, and I'll lay there, and I'll lay there, and Pat will just, and I'm like fidgety and everything, and Pat will just get up and go clean the floor because he knows it's driving me insane. I have a sickness. My son tells me I'm sick, that I have an illness called, you know, this floor disease. But I can relate to this woman. She was probably a perfectionist. Everything had to be perfect in her home. Everything had to be laid out just perfect when Jesus came over. Everything in the service has to be just perfect when we're preparing for service. You know, I imagine she had to have just the right forks in place. The meal had to be prepared at just the right time. Everything had to be on time, on schedule. There's so many times, even in the body of Christ, even in the church building, we get so caught up in the schedule, in the order of service, in everything that we're doing, that we forget about his presence, about what's really important. Everything has to be so perfect to usher in his presence, but nobody bothers opening the door for him to come in. And we have to be careful of that we don't get so busy, women in ministry, that we forget what's really important, that we forget that we are not only a minister, but we are a daughter of God first. That we are a woman of God, that we are women, that we are called to be mothers and wives and women in our household before we are ever called to this pulpit. There are times whenever I get invited to speak and I have to look at what's going on all around me. It's not like Pat when he can just say he gets a call to go ministry and he's there. I am a woman, and that's not a bad thing. I'm a mother. I'm a wife. You know, I have children, and you know what? They are not a burden to me. They are a privilege to be their mother. It is a privilege to be Pat's wife. It is a calling to be those things. And sometimes when I get invited to go speak, I have to weigh, is it profitable for my family for me to go? Is it profitable for my marriage for me to go? And if it's not, then my first calling is to be a woman. And then to be a minister. I don't know how I got on that. It was for somebody. But we have to realize, you know, this woman, I'm sure, was a perfectionist. You know, if something was undone, she probably couldn't rest. She probably, it would weigh heavy on her. You see, ladies, the enemy cannot make you sin. The enemy cannot make you have a moral failure. The enemy cannot make you abandon your children or abandon your marriage or not be a good wife. The enemy cannot make you sin, but he can wear you out with busyness so that you can't be effective in